I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashawn Taylor.
Joe Fisher, man, coming back, looking all grizzly.
Look I at see you. What you did there.
Look at you.
Well, you know, a few days on the skipper, on the fishing boat, that'll do it to you. It'll change you, turn you to a man. Yeah, I am back from, I literally got back last Sunday, but was out on a charter boat out in Garibaldi and getting my fishing on, trying to catch some rockfish.
Sound like a true Oregonian.
Some
right
ling
now.
Cod.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah. It was unfortunate because we were supposed to go out on the boat like 20 miles, like go out there, do some what do they call deep reef fishing. And they called like the day before and they're like, there's a storm coming.
Nope. We're good.
Yeah. And they said that we could do like light tackle, which was like 4 to 5 miles off the coast or something like that, which I was like, hey, that's I'm cool with that.
4 to 5 miles off the coast is a long way.
And we could still see it. So like it maybe it was like closer to 3 maybe. Because we could still definitely see the coastline. Like, yeah. It wasn't like...
But that's crazy. Like, if you were outside, you just can't see a mile ahead of you. Like, you can, but...
I don't know how many knots we were out there, or I don't know what the unit of measurement is.
Yeah, if somebody told you you had to walk 3 miles to the store or something like that, it's like, damn, that's 3 miles. So you're in the middle of the ocean. Not the middle, but 3 miles into the ocean. Like, that's 3-4 miles. That's pretty deep.
We were out there, yeah. That's
yeah, could
sure.
you see the shore still? I'm not sure I've ever been that far out on a boat.
See, and that's what I'm really wondering, like, how far were we? Because, I could still see the coastline.
Okay.
But we were out there. It was pretty far out. So I don't know how far as mileage goes, but, yeah, it was. We limited out. We got our 5 rockfish. My dad was the only one to be able to catch and keep a ling cod. Ooh, so there
that's
was
awesome.
Yeah, there was about like six or seven ling cod that were caught, but they were all too small. So you had to measure them out at the back of the boat, and then the guy just hucks them off the edge.
You can only take ones of certain age, I would assume.
Yeah, a certain length.
They have to be, yeah, big enough. How big do they have to be?
You got to be like 22 inches or something like that. Yeah, I think it's like 22 inches for a ling cod. But it was like, right, it was a buzzer beater. It was a buzzer beater catch from my dad because we were getting to the limit for everybody on the boat. For the five fish or whatever it was. Five rock fish. Now I think you can keep a couple ling cod. I don't know. But it was like being announced like, hey, we're only going to be dropping a few more times. Like we're only going to be throwing out the reels a couple more times here. So, you know, make the most of it. And literally the last cast for my dad, he pulls up a ling cod.
That's awesome.
So pulls it up, measure. All right, it's a keeper. And then basically the captain was like, all right, that's it. We're done. It was, again, like a buzzer beater final catch. And my dad was just like, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think he cried. I think there were just tears coming from his eyes.
Well, when you get a last minute, it's pretty cool. You know, when you get something, especially if you were out there for a few hours, right? Like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, we got back in because we left the bay at like 6:30 in the morning. On a Saturday.
Yikes.
Yeah. I'm glad that we did because we were able to be out there for about like 4 hours. But yeah, someone's got to tell me, like, maybe Vancouver Vortex. I'm like, why? Why so early for fishing? Is it because the water is colder or is, I mean, like, there's still fish out there at 2, 3, 4 p.m. I don't think they just go away.
Maybe not in the same spot. Like, you know, when I go fishing with my buddies, it's usually like it. You know, they like to leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning,
see, yeah.
Like 5 o'clock. I'm like, yo, why are we going so early? But it's the best time, apparently.
Were you on a choppy part of the ocean, or was this like calm where you guys were sitting?
No, it was fine. It was all good.
I would assume, my dad always told me, it's the calm waters. It's the quiet. There's nothing around. But if we're talking miles out into the ocean, it's not like a bunch of people can be yelling and disturbing the fish. So it's got to be like feeding time. There's never been like a show that ever gave me this fact. I have nothing.
According to smoothmoveseats.com, we've all been there. Morning fishing provides the benefit of calm and consistent water conditions, which can significantly impact your success as an angler. In the early hours of the day before the winds pick up and boat traffic increases, the water is often smoother and more tranquil. There you go.
Makes sense.
Tranquility.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I'm not happy about it still, having to wake up at 5:30 on a Saturday, but you know. Well, and then my dad, he was he was calling me out for taking a nap later in the day when we got back to the hotel room. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I am absolutely exhausted, and we are doing nothing else in Garibaldi because, quite frankly, there is nothing else to do in Garibaldi.
I'm sure there's a nice strip club you and your dad could have went to.
See, I was trying to find something.
There's like one bar.
Along the lines of the Bachelor's Inn of Coos Bay, right?
Right.
There was nothing within close enough driving distance. The beach always throws me off because I was telling my dad, we were talking about, you know, Lincoln City, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's probably like an hour and a half one. And I'm like, no, it's not. And he's like, I think it might be. And I was like, dude, I think it's like a half hour to 45 minutes. Look it up. An hour 10 away from Garibaldi.
Yeah.
That happens.
About right.
Happens.
Go to the casino.
Every time I'm at the coast, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in Lincoln City, Newport. That's probably like 15 minutes. And then you look it up, and yeah, an hour and a half. And I'm just like, the hell?
Yeah.
I'm already at the coast. Why do I have to drive another hour and a half?
To get to another one.
Geography, clearly not my forte
What's your favorite coast here, you know?
Favorite coastal city?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this was a hot, contentious point a couple weeks ago between myself, Sprague, Jeff Russ, Dirt, because we were in here right after their show. And Sprague and I both, we are staunch Newport supporters. I think Newport is the best coastal city. I think that we have too many people that just don't care to make the drive and don't they go to Cannon Beach or Lincoln City or something and they say, you know what, good enough, I'll take this. But Newport to me has everything. You have a beach, right? You have coastline you can walk, but you have the bay, you have really good food. I mean, who doesn't like the sea lions, the sea lion docks?
Doesn't have a casino, but see, I'm a Lincoln City guy.
Well, there's only like
the aquarium.
It's got that
one
Grand
of the
Fair
best
true.
In the world. It was just voted. I saw.
Oh, really? There you
yes.
go.
Top five.
I remember
or
when
like that.
They used to have Keiko there.
Keiko,
Keiko the whale.
Yeah,
Keiko.
The whale. The from Free Willy.
Oh yeah, all
some
those
star power in Newport.
All those whales in captivity. You know what? He lived a sad life. Like that. We shouldn't have kept him in captivity.
And yeah, we did a poll question about. Which is the best coastal city? And Newport did not hold up. It did not.
Newport kind of sucks. They do have an Arctic Circle. I think they still do.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Did Lincoln City win that? Win that?
I can't remember. See, and this was the other thing is like I want to say they lumped in Cannon Beach and Seaside together, and I was like, you can't do that.
No,
Astoria and Seaside you can lump together if you wanted to do that. But
they're two separate towns though.
But like, they are
completely. And Astoria is not a coastal city. Also,
I mean, it's
that's
it's
a river.
Not,
that's yeah, a river city. That's river, close to the coast. All right,
yeah. That's fair.
Let's get that out of the way. But yeah, I like Newport. I know about you guys.
I'll be honest. I'm old school. I'm a seaside guy. You know, I've always kind of have been. Like, if you're looking for fun stuff, like, seaside's probably the way to go. Like, there's, as much as I love the casino in Lincoln City, there's not a lot to do, like, in Lincoln City. Like, once you get there, it's more adults, go chill, you know, walk the beach, everything. But, you know, the one restaurant they had that was pretty good, it's like a breakfast spot. I can't remember the name of it. But it just recently closed down in Lincoln City. That was
Pig and Pancake.
No, that's not what you're talking about.
But I'll have to look it up. I can't remember what it
I think it's Blackfish Cafe. They just closed down.
Wasn't them either, but it was a very good breakfast spot that, you know, we would go to every time and then found out they closed. Outside of that, I'm trying to figure out, like, what in Lincoln City is like.
I mean, there's golf there. They
got Salishan, which is right south of the area, which is a great golf course.
That's the second golf course other than the Chinook Winds. You've got Fogarty Beach, which my wife and I were married at. It's kind of quiet down past Salishan. I mean, there's not just beaches to go to. They've actually got a movie theater there. They've got the downtown.
Devil's Lake.
Yeah, so you've got a lake and the ocean. You've got the downtown area in Lincoln City. I personally just love booking one of those spots down on First Avenue, you know, in Lincoln City, like a quarter of a mile from the casino, and either catch a shuttle at the hotel or on a nice night, you can just walk your drunk ass back to your place. And for me, as the degenerate that wants to go place a sports bet but be right on the ocean, oh my God. And there really is more to do than just the casino. They got Gallucci's Pizza. Come on.
My cousin used to work at Gallucci's.
They
don't have
so
elephant ears,
good.
Do they?
Yes, they do, actually.
Where?
Downtown Lincoln City.
It's a lie.
As if that is the biggest like selling point for Seaside over the rest of the city.
Sure.
Like, they have elephant ears.
They have a long line for elephant ears, sometimes too damn long. You know? So, yeah, there's some Seaside is, and you know what it is for me? It's probably more nostalgia than anything else. Like, as a kid, I remember when Mortal Kombat first came out at the arcade at Seaside, and it was like that was the coolest place in the world to be. You know, so a lot of it is nostalgia for me.
Yeah, I got to find this poll question that they ran because I am curious to see what ended up running away with it.
Has to be LC. Has to be Lincoln City.
I would imagine it's probably Lincoln City.
And well, also, Rashad, what town did you grow up in here in Oregon? Because I was in Salem, which Lincoln City was an hour, you know, from our door.
Northeast Portland. Northeast Portland. So
you going to Seaside over, you know, Highway 26 Mountains makes a ton of sense.
I mean, Lincoln City is still only an hour and a half away.
But it's not as close as Seaside for you.
Seaside, hour and 15? You know, so it was kind of relatively central, depending on where I was getting on the freeway from. So, yeah, both of them are about an hour and a half.
Yeah, so this poll question, I finally found it. And there was qualifiers. You're staying 3 nights at the coast. Weather is perfect. Where are you staying? And Seaside/Cannon, which, again, I feel like you can't do that. You can't do
that. Yeah, that's cheating.
33.1%. Lincoln City. Don't throw up the one. It doesn't count. It's two cities. Well, technically,
Cannon
that's...
Cannon Beach is literally, like, it's
technically,
it's
that's 16.5% for Seaside, 16.5% for Cannon.
Nobody kicks it in Cannon, though. Like, you stay there. You stay. You do.
No, Cannon's
you do,
got some
wrong,
nice
you do,
cabins.
You do. You, that's what I'm saying. You sleep there, and that's one of those things. That if you're kicking it like that, cool. Yes, you're going to go to Cannon, but you're looking for stuff to do and everything, you're going to Seaside.
Lincoln City, 27.5%. Manzanita was on here because Jeff Rust was staunchly supporting Manzanita, 27.2%. And then Newport, 12.1%. Stop the count, okay? I want a recount.
Yeah, the two cities. So Lincoln City got beat by two cities. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the Nesquin,
eh. Might as well throw Coos Bay on there, too.
Eh.
I'm a
big Depot Bay fan.
Oh, well, Depot Bay also has a casino, so I am as well.
Florence, I don't think I've ever gone further south than Newport on the coast.
Gotta check Depot Bay out. You gotta.
Well, Depot Bay is... That's,
I don't have a reason to ever
Depot
go
Bay
Depot
is like
Bay,
just
Depot
south
Bay.
Of Lincoln City. That's not too far south.
Oh, no, that's not Depot Bay that I'm
You're thinking of Coos.
I am thinking of
the
Coos
home
Bay.
Of the Bachelor's Inn.
Yeah.
There we go.
Again, no, unless I'm going for a like a sports reason, no reason to ever go to really any of those places.
Oh. Florence, yeah, I haven't gone there.
No, neither.
But speaking of poll questions, I have a poll question up for this show that is sports related. And we will get to this at some point because we did have the NFL draft. But what team has been the most disappointing in the NBA playoffs? We have the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Phoenix Suns, or the New Orleans Pelicans. Those are your four choices on 1080 The Fan. You can go ahead and vote there. Brought to you by no one. And, yeah, we'll get to that. Right now, there's one team that is specifically running away with it. So I guess this is a race for second place. But you can go ahead and vote there. You can also chime in on the show. Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. But the NFL draft, it has finished. Also, before we get to that, we do have some fun with audio today. We have many audio clips. But the NFL draft has finished. All picks have been made from Caleb Williams to Mr. Irrelevant. And there was one that stood out on Thursday, day one, that had everybody talking. And I think you know who it was. We will get to that next to start things here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
2024 NFL Draft is in the books. We have every single pick made from the first round to the seventh in all compensatory picks. But there was one on day one on Thursday that caught everybody off guard, and for a good reason. And I just It's hard to put words to it because Michael Penix, to me, was my favorite quarterback in this draft. Like, as far as, like, being able to be a starter and play immediately in this league, he, to me, looks like the most, like, ready, not needing as much development or time to develop in the league like some of these other quarterbacks may be. So I was excited to see where he went. One, I was excited because I didn't have to, he was a Washington quarterback, so I didn't have to hate him anymore.
Of course.
I can actually, like, start talking about him, you know, objectively and not be so, like, hating against him because he was pissing me off for the whole entire year. But as far as teams for him to go to that did not make sense, it was the Atlanta Falcons. And sure enough, at number 8, they drafted Michael Penix.
Top 10.
Yeah, I mean, top 10, which, again, like, I'm not upset about. I believe him. I believe that he is that good to be a top 10 quarterback. I've been saying that since last season in college football. It's like, dude, the way that he plays in the pocket and has that comfortability in the pocket, he is definitely a top 10 draft pick to me. But as far as situations for him to go, why Atlanta? Why, like, you just signed Kirk Cousins to all this money for 2 years at least with the guaranteed money. And Michael Penix, again, like, he is ready to play right now. He is ready to take over the reins for some other team right now, I believe, and start getting those reps in to see if he is an NFL quarterback. So not only did you use a first-round pick on him that you're not going to see him play for maybe 2 to 3 years, maybe longer, and the coach even said, for the Atlanta Falcons, like, oh, well, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that's great, because that means that we're doing great at the quarterback position. It's like, well, okay, if you're trying to win now and trying to be one of the best teams in the NFC, that's, I mean, you're doing that by signing Kirk Cousins. Wouldn't you want to get a player that will help you win now, like a receiver? Your defense was kind of crappy last year. Maybe someone on the defensive end, Raheem Morris, you are a defensive coach. Like, I don't know. All crazy thoughts to me. So this Michael Penix pick, I mean, I think this is the consensus. Everybody is confused by it.
It, when it happened, I think we all kind of had the same
what
collective shock. Like, what? Huh?
Why?
Like, not necessarily why, because for me, there wasn't a big why there. Like, number one, like, let's be real. Like, this is probably the most respect we've given Kirk Cousins ever. Most people look at Kirk Cousins and say he's overrated. Overrated. Can't get it done. He's, you know, can't win in prime time. He's got one playoff win. Like,
good but not great.
Good, exactly. Good but not great at all. This is the most reverence that we've ever given Kirk Cousins by saying, like, oh, you just paid him all this money and he's going to come. Other than that, like, let's be real. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Going to be, I mean, an Achilles is tough to recover from for any sport. You're 35 coming off an Achilles injury, and they expect you to play out that $140 million contract, 90 of which is guaranteed. They really expected him to play for another 5 years.
Well, like, I would think so, because they gave him that contract
and
all that money.
Which was crazy. So that was the first question you asked yourself, is why the hell would Atlanta give Kirk Cousins all that money, and especially all that guaranteed money? It makes sense for them to draft, if you got a 35-year-old quarterback who's been injured over the last little bit, it makes sense for you to draft a quarterback. We didn't think it'd be Michael Penix, and we didn't think it'd be a top 10 pick, you know, all of a sudden. However, you're getting a man. Michael Penix Jr. is, what, 26 years old? How old is he?
He is, what is it, 24?
24?
Jordan, I know that,
yeah,
you guys are talking about this on Dirt and Sprague. Is he 23?
He just turned 24.
Gotcha.
So just
Michael
turned
Penix.
24. Let's say, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to play out that 5 years that he's been paid for. I say he probably gets maybe two. Maybe two in between there. And by then, hopefully Michael Penix would have learned enough to go in and take over. But yeah, it was a head scratcher, because I don't think initially that's what they needed in the first round. I thought they needed some help with the pass rush. And I thought that would have been maybe a smarter move. But when you've got a guy like Michael Penix Jr., like, and you've got an aging injured quarterback, like, I understand why they took him. Like, I mean, what other quarterback were you going to take? And then there's no guarantee that there might have been serviceable quarterback into the second and third round.
Well, there wasn't. Well, I think it was a record from when Bo Nix was selected to, I think, Spencer Rattler. It was the most consecutive picks without a quarterback. So, I mean, that gap was big enough. But again, you didn't need a backup quarterback. You didn't need to draft one of these top six quarterbacks to me. Like, it just doesn't make sense from where you are at as a franchise and finding your franchise quarterback for what you hope is the future. Like, I understand the insurance aspect of it, but again, like, Michael Penix is ready now. So what, he's not going to play until he's 26, 27, and you're going to pay him how you're going to give him first round, eighth overall pick money for however many years for him not to play. Well, and then when he finally gets out there and starts playing, like, what if he is as advertised?
I mean, they're
now you got to go into this contract, this second contract, and pay him out. And after not having playing for 2-3 years, well, like,
they're taking their chances on an injured 35-year-old quarterback. So I don't know if age really matters to them like that at this point. Like, if we're being honest, like, I think a lot of teams would have looked at Kirk Cousins' age and looked at the injury that he's coming off of and said, I don't know if we're going to give you that much money. We can see about 90 for a few years, but I don't think we're going to give you that much money for whatever reasons. Because when the Falcons did it, I think we were all kind of given the same Michael Penix Jr. Treatment. We were all like, what? You gave Kirk Cousins what?
I think there was
how much is guaranteed?
I mean, as far as the money goes, it was when it came out, I was like, wow, that is a lot of money, but
okay, but
it's a lot of money for Kirk Cousins too. And I'm probably the only person here that actually likes Cousins.
But that was their plan. And honestly, I will agree that I've kind of been knocking on Cousins when the quarterback series came out on Netflix, you know, his whole like new age ways of trying to like get his body recovered. I kind of think some of that's like not voodoo, but it's just like, dude, study more film, like stop. I'm not the hugest fan of Kirk Cousins, but what I am not even bigger of a fan of is the inconsistent message from your team. If you are going to go this way being sign Kirk Cousins, give him a huge bag without telling everybody until after the draft, oh, you know what? We have a Jordan Love type of situation in our minds with the 35-year-old quarterback we just gave a bunch of money and brought him in, which, by the way, that wasn't the Jordan Love situation. Aaron Rodgers had already won you a Super Bowl, so I don't know why you're bringing up those comparisons. And the second reason that comparison is wrong is because the Packers drafted Jordan Love, what, at 20, 21 out of Utah State? He was much younger. And I'm not trying to hamper on age, but it is worth pointing out that if this 4 or 5 year plan that they're trying to state is going to happen, which it's kind of hilarious at this point. They're literally trying to sit on the fence and ride both sides. If that's going to happen, Michael Penix won't be 27, 28 until he starts, right? Jordan Love just started his first year in the NFL full-time, 24 years old. He turned 25 during the season. It just doesn't line up. I'm not trying to hamper on age, but it doesn't make sense that you would waste a high draft pick when you could have had the best receiver or the second best receiver in the draft for Kirk Cousins to throw to. You said, Rashad, off the air, he needs an edge rusher, or Atlanta does. There's just multiple positions that you need in Atlanta. None of this makes sense to me, and their fans have a right to be pissed.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had, like, Dallas Turner available, the kid from UCLA, Leatu Latu, mm-hmm. like, who people are saying was the best edge rusher. Like, they were there. I mean, maybe an offensive lineman? Hell. I mean, there was just so many other needs for Atlanta, for a team that finished 7-10 last year, and where offense, it was like you were a quarterback away. So now you have two.
Yeah, I think Atlanta knows what we know, is that Kirk Cousins.
But then why give him all that money?
That's where my question is.
I don't know. I think because I feel like they felt like they had to. And again,
within like
that was the first thing. So,
within like 60 days, so, you're already just like,
so again, if you're looking to lose your job, look no further than the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. Because again, you gave Kirk Cousins a lot of money. A lot of money, and then turned around months later and then spent what's going to be a significant amount of money for a first round top 10 quarterback that you're going to spend as well. Like, they needed a name. They needed somebody to make them forget about the crappy season that Atlanta had, or the crappy few seasons that Atlanta has had, and Kirk Cousins gave them a little pride or a little, and I think that you were hoping to get stuff to go with Kirk Cousins, but instead you called yourself building for the future. They don't have to draft a quarterback for the next couple of years because they know they got their guy in Michael Penix. And who's to say he goes to camp and Michael Penix isn't better than Kirk Cousins? We've seen it before.
The Seahawks quarterback here.
And then a guy named Russell Wilson
came and took his spot. Fourth round pick on Russell Wilson? Like, if there was something
about
to
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn, thank you. Yeah. Like,
a lot of less money, by the way. That was like a $30 million contract.
But it was huge
maximum.
At that time. At that time, it was like, man, that's for Matt Flynn word.
Compared to $100 guaranteed million dollars, that there was a different air, and they were giving money to running backs.
Matt Flynn contract was 3 years, 20 mil.
Thank you. 20. Yeah, not even 30.
With 10 of it guaranteed. Like, this would be egregious mismanagement if they signed Cousins and then they get into training camp and they're like, oh my God, Michael Penix is running laps around him. Well, Kirk,
we don't see that happening.
I guarantee that Kirk Cousins is your day one starter and will start the entire season as long as injuries don't happen. You are paying him $90 million.
Oh, he's guaranteed. He's going to play. He's going to start.
Yeah.
You're paying him to. You have to start him.
So
you're screwed either way. Like, you got to play him.
And that's why I just, none of it makes sense. Like,
and you can't trade him because who wants that contract?
Doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense to me. You can text in 503-864-6326, the Fan Vancouver Ford text line, to share your thoughts. I want to jump over to a few more of where these quarterbacks went. And also, we're going to talk about where some of the other Oregon and Oregon State players ended up in the NFL draft. Because there was one Oregon player people were wondering, where the hell is he going to go? Because he kept kind of dropping and dropping. And he actually found himself a pretty good home. So we will get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Oh, God.
They start spelling that stuff phonetically or something like that, just to make sure that you can make the announcement.
The NFL draft is just, there's so many hilarious things about it. Rashad and I were listening to clips of guys trying to announce players and names and trying to just make the announcement. I didn't even see the Jamal Charles trying to make the Chiefs announcement when, like, the second round, third round, whatever. But my God.
That's the most entertaining part of the draft.
He was struggling. One of my favorite parts of the draft, too, is when they show the fans for the team, and it's like third, fourth round, and they clearly don't know who the player is. They're like,
no.
Out of Syracuse, we're taking this guy, and the fans, yeah! It's like,
You've never seen anything.
They're as bad as those Blazers fans at halftime, like trying to like get their hands or like look on, you know, I'm on the screen. Like, stop.
we were taking the corner out of Toledo. Yeah! Because you were just locked in on Toledo football all year long, I'm sure.
Texas Abilene Christian? No. No. And by the way, I do hate the announcement of picks by anybody else but NFL executives.
I love it. I love it. It's so much fun.
I am out for it.
It's so much fun, man.
I don't know why they do it.
The year that Pat McAfee did the pick for Tennessee was awesome.
Drew Pearson for the Cowboys, when he announced his pick, and I think the draft was in Philly. If not, he just went full WWE on that, though. Like,
that's
announcing
awesome.
The pick.
That's awesome. That's the most fun part. Like, Goodell's sitting up there doing, okay, cool. You know, but when you get into the third and fourth round and you get fans and you get former players and you get Jamal Charles and people to come up there.
Then you get the 11-year-old that's like, Cart Werner. Mm. And it just butchers the name.
Hey, I love that.
It did better than Andre Dyson did with Rook Aroro, which is, I don't blame him on the name, but there was the longest pause between his first and last name, because I'm sure he's looked at that. He had never looked at the name before.
Seriously. You can't see it. You don't know. So you're going to go out there and just open it up and it's like, oh, I have no idea how to say this.
And it was what made it even funnier was when they started like breaking down the draft pick is Field Yates was talking about him, and it was almost like a meow challenge. Like, how many times can I say Rook Aroro in this 30-second hit? Because he just...
Are you saying meow?
Just over and over and over again. Rook Aroro, ro-ro, Aroro, ro-ro. I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah. He is locked
You've
in.
You've
got to
say it, Antetokounmpo.
Right,
you've got to say it. Remember, we couldn't say it for a long time. You know, then you get good enough and you'll learn how to say it. If Aurora is going to be good, I guarantee you we'll learn how to say it.
Well, Roger Goodell did call Marcus Mariota Mariota.
So. Yeah, Mariota, yeah.
Bro.
What did they call him at the Heisman? It was even worse than that. From Oregon.
That one.
We'll never get away from that.
Do you pronounce it Boston? Everything spelled O-N, everyone pronounces really big things correctly, but when it comes to Oregon, it's like, I don't say Boston. Why do people say Oregon? That is the big, that eats my craw.
So, some of the other draft picks from the first round, it was pretty much chalk for like the first like six picks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., who for some reason still hasn't signed his NFLPA contract or whatever. So we don't even know if his jersey is going to be able to be sold or if you can play as Marvin Harrison in the next Madden or anything. It will be Harvin Marrison Jr. in the next Madden.
Does it matter? Madden's just a roster update at this point anyways. They don't add new features.
Derek Smith at wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals in the next Madden. Joe Alt, Malik Nabers at six. But hey, one of the other more intriguing draft picks of the first round that got people talking was Bo Nix at 12 going to the Denver Broncos. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks of the NFL draft. First time ever that's happened. But Bo Nix, Michael Penix, those two guys were being talked about as like second round guys going into the draft. I was kind of reserved to that fact at that point. I was like, yeah, we'll see them go in the second round somewhere, see what situation they end up. No. Within the first 12 picks.
Yeah.
And yeah, Bo Nix, we talked about Penix in the last segment, but Bo Nix going to Denver.
That's
and
huge.
That, you want to talk about Penix having to wait. Nix has an opportunity to start right away for them.
And has an opportunity to do it with one of his teammates.
Yeah.
You know, and so
Troy Franklin, he ended up getting drafted, I believe, was it a third round. To the Denver Broncos. Which, when I saw that, I was like, you know, it's not late first, early second that some people were hoping for Franklin, but
that's still a huge,
That's a great spot for him to go with the guy that was throwing him touchdown passes for the last 2 years.
And for Troy Franklin, if you're drafted, like, so I've kind of got it set up to where I understand, like, which round you get picked in is kind of the expectation that you're going to have going in there. They call Brock Purdy Mr. Irrelevant because he's the last pick of the draft for the most part. Like, we don't expect you to do much, right? But first round, you're clearly expected to be a star. You know, second, third round, you're expected to be a solid starter. You know, potentially Pro Bowl, you know, fourth, fifth round, you know, you're going to be a person on the roster, usually fifth, sixth, seventh, like you're trying to just make a team, maybe practice squad, something like
taking
that.
Taking flyers so, at that point.
Troy Franklin is somebody that Denver is looking at as a potential, you know, key cog in what they're trying to do in Denver. Like Jerry Jeudy, that whole thing, I don't know how well that's worked. You know, and so now
Jeudy, I mean, he just got traded a few months ago. Where's he?
Right.
He just got where did he just get traded to?
So that with him being out and with him not really working in the first place, now you've got
Cleveland Browns,
a quarterback and a receiver that have a rapport with each other. Now, I think that could be a good thing for Sean Payton and company.
I mean, I think it just caught everyone off guard that he got drafted that early. I will say when they showed his like draft party, I was like, man, that is a scene from Get Out right there. Because Tez Johnson was the only dude in there,
that
only black the guy.
I was
there.
Like, what are you doing there?
And everybody else was white, wearing pink springs colors and everything. I was like,
man,
this is.
Shirts
I was like,
tucked in.
I was like, someone bring out the teacup right now. Like,
I mean, hey, that's his guy, you know. Apparently, so
that's his brother. Did you know that?
Is it really?
Wait, hold on. Are you being serious right now?
No, I'm being for real. That's
Tez Johnson is Bo Nix's adopted brother.
That's awesome.
Did you watch a single Oregon game last year? They probably brought it up like 5 to 8 times. It started becoming
attention. I wasn't.
Yeah, you watched the games with the sound off. Obviously,
it started to become
an over under thing. Like, how many times are they going to bring up that Tez Johnson is Bo Nix's adopted brother?
Well, you know, he met him when he was 15, 16, and the relationship that they've built has translated on the field. Stop.
I'll be real. A lot of times I do watch it with the sound off, so I can have, you know, if I'm watching football, I can have music on and stuff like that. I don't necessarily need, you know, the sound on. So
actually,
I like to party.
Can I defend you in that statement? Some of these NBA playoffs announcers that they have had, because you got to get like the, it's beyond your full TNT and ESPN roster because you're putting on four or five games at once. Oh my God. Some of these guys are just the bottom of the barrel.
And
man.
Some of them are awesome. Have you been listening
to Reggie Miller is one of the worst.
Well, Reggie Miller is not great, but
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford is awesome.
He's not too bad.
No, yeah. He's always, yeah, he's very, very,
really, really, really good. I'm like, okay, yeah, you got this. You understand what you're doing.
I want to just smack Reggie Miller over the back of his head sometimes for something. Like, I wish I was sitting next to him because, like, the game winner over for Jamal Murray,
mm-hmm.
He literally, as Harlan is making the call and the shot goes in,
game over.
Like, doesn't let Harlan just make the call. He has to chime in and say something as the shot is going in as well. And it's just like, bro, like, let Kevin Harlan do this, please. And then he wouldn't shut the F up for the entire like time after the shot went in. And he just kept going and going. I'm like, dude, please. Can someone please just cut the mic?
Gotta get his opinion.
Just cut the mic, please.
I think it was
the caramel cat.
Yeah.
That nobody ever called him.
Nobody ever called him.
I think it was game two between the Knicks and the 76ers. I mean, I feel bad for the announcer because it sounds like he has an actual speech impediment, but he kept calling like Tom Thibodeau, and then calling Hartenstein, and then I heard him like drop an R.
Hartenstein.
Yeah, and almost go like Wadio at some point. I'm like, oh God, like, is this guy actually like have like an impediment or something? And then I'm like, if he does, why is he announcing an NBA game? Half of these names are wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing it on purpose. Like, that's his thing.
Stein.
All right.
Might be his shtick.
I'll leave it to you guys. Do we go fun with audio next, or see where the rest of the Oregon State guys went? We can save fun with audio for the second hour.
Let's save the fun with audio.
Okay. Yeah.
Next segment, we will talk about where all the other Oregon Duck and Oregon State players went next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Oregon football. They had their spring game yesterday. I know Rashad was locked in.
Actually, I watched a little.
Oh, you watched more than I did.
Only because, like, my soon-to-be daughter, I suppose. Stepdaughter.
Yeah. I think that's how that works.
Turns 19 today. And one of the things she goes to U of O. One of the things she did is went to the spring game.
Ah.
And so.
Trying to find her in the crowd.
Happy birthday, Jada. Yeah. No, not at all. But, you know, whenever you lose a guy like Bo Nix, I think you're just curious to see
how things are.
Not even how things are, but just who could potentially be next.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to, obviously, the transfer portal, you know, if you're a Ducks fan, thank God for that, you know, because now you get a new super senior. What year is?
I mean, this will be Gabriel's last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so.
Because he was at UCF for 3 years.
Technically, this is like either his graduate year or I'm so confused with all the transfers allowed now because he can do it however many times you want.
And you have a COVID year and then.
Yeah, some of these kids like Cam McCormick, I think, might be applying for another year still. Like,
Cam McCormick is going to be 40 and somehow still have some eligibility.
I would love a homegrown quarterback. It's been a while. Mariota was the last one. When I say homegrown, I mean they came to Oregon as a freshman and decided to ride it out and get that. Like, Mariota was really the last one. Since then, it's been Vernon Adams and who else? Well, obviously, Bo Nix, Anthony Brown.
We had the Dakota, you know, poop
Dakota
cop. Poop,
yeah, but even Dakota came here first, right?
He was transferred.
No, he was
So Dakota, you know, poop cop. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been, what, 10 years now? How long ago was Mariota?
Anthony Brown. Can't forget Anthony Brown.
Anthony, we cannot forget Anthony Brown.
They tried with Tyler Shuck. He was their product, but it didn't work out.
You know, so I would love to see a quarterback from and Oregon State come
real,
and.
Real quickly, on this golf channel, that is just a mean mustache and kind of a squirrel moment. Johnson Wagner, I think this guy's name was, it said. That is a top tier mustache.
Do you like it? I don't. I'm
that's
not
a solid stash, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's really good. Almost just got his Ron Burgundy on. You know,
sorry.
I see it strong
again. See a mustache like that, it throws you off. It's like, it's, man.
I mean, so
if I could only be like that. If
does
I could
Dusty
get that,
still have his mustache?
No, I think it's gone.
Man, I was like, man, is this Tom Selleck?
That's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a good thing.
I thought the mustache looked good. I was team mustache.
Mustaches,
Dusty.
Fellas, listen. Mustaches don't look good.
No, I was with him.
Don't look good.
They do.
No, they don't.
I give my stamp of approval. I am Joe Fisher, and I endorse this mustache.
My dad.
I'm Rashad Taylor. Don't do it.
But my dad has always had a mustache, and I still don't like mustaches. And Rashad, I think the look of Dusty, you could compare it to the clip that he says himself, like he says his mustache makes him look like a conquistador. That's exactly what he looks
kind
like.
Kind of, yeah.
He's a conquistador, right?
Kind of.
All right, where did these other Oregon players go? Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. Jackson Powers Johnson, the barrel-chested center for Oregon. That dude's upper body is insane. Like, my God. It is just... I don't see how he is going to not be a great player for the Raiders and a great center overall, because that guy looks like he could move mountains. But he goes round two, pick 44 to the Las Vegas Raiders. The next duck off the board, Troy Franklin at pick 102. We talked about him going to the Denver Broncos along with Bo Nix. A few picks later, Kyrie Jackson, corner, going to the Minnesota Vikings. The pick right after that, so the Oregon Ducks went 101, 108, and 109. Atlanta Falcons take Brandon Dorlus. And then two picks after that, Evan Williams, safety, goes to the Green Bay Packers. And if you haven't seen the fan announce that pick for the Green Bay Packers, he knew the assignment. He was in Detroit.
See,
he
you
was
said a fan, right?
They had a fan up there.
Yeah. See?
Hate
cool.
It.
And oh, you should.
Was this one?
This was
legit?
Good. Yeah, okay. He knew the assignment, being in Detroit and being a Green Bay Packers fan, reminding them what the Packers have done over their franchise's history. Yeah, he did not skip a beat, and I don't like a lot of things about the Packers, but tip of the cap to this kid because he definitely delivered as far as announcing the draft pick.
Good for him.
Bucky Irving goes pick 125 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I love that for him.
Bucky to the Bucks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like a stereotypical number one back in the league, but he's going to get a lot of carries for him. Might be like a third down option. He's just so fast.
Yeah, and he just...
I'm curious to see how they use him in Tampa. Yeah.
He fights through contact, too. Like, he just doesn't seem to want to go down at any point. Yeah, when the Cowboys, when the draft kept going along, and I don't think the Cowboys ended up with a running back.
Nope.
Which, okay, best of luck. I was hoping...
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, God.
They start spelling that stuff phonetically or something like that just to make sure that you can make the announcement.
The NFL draft is just, there's so many hilarious things about it. Rashad and I were listening to clips of guys trying to announce players and names and trying to just make the announcement. I didn't even see the Jamal Charles trying to make the Chiefs announcement when, like, the second round, third round, whatever. But my God,
that's the most entertaining part of the draft.
He was struggling. One of my favorite parts of the draft, too, is when they show the fans for the team and it's like third, fourth round, and they clearly don't know who the player is. They're like, out of Syracuse, we're taking this guy. And the fans, it's like, you have no idea.
You've never seen Syracuse anything.
Stop.
They're as bad as those Blazers fans at halftime, like trying to like get their hands or like look on, you know, I'm on the screen. Like, stop.
we were taking the corner out of Toledo. Because you were just locked in on Toledo football all year long, I'm sure.
Texas Abilene Christian? No. And by the way, I do hate the announcement of picks by anybody else but NFL executives.
I love it. I love it. It's so much fun.
I am out for it.
It's so much fun, man.
I don't know why they do it.
The year that Pat McAfee did the pick for Tennessee was awesome.
I remember when
he can read.
Okay. Drew Pearson for the Cowboys, when he announced his pick, and I think the draft was in Philly. If not, he just went full WWE on that, though, like announcing the pick.
That's awesome. That's the most fun part. Like, Goodell's sitting up there doing it. Okay, cool. You know, but when you get into the third and fourth round and you get fans and you get former players and you get Jamal Charles and people to come up there.
Then you get the 11-year-old that's like, Cart Werner. And it just butchers the name.
Hey, I love
like,
that.
It did better than Andre Dyson did with Rook Aroro, which is, I don't blame him on the name, but there was the longest pause between his first and last name, because I'm sure he's looked at that. He had never looked at the name before.
Seriously. You can't see it. You don't know. So you're going to go out there and just open it up and it's like, I have no idea how to say this.
And it was what made it even funnier was when they started like breaking down the draft pick is Field Yates was talking about him, and it was almost like a meow challenge. Like, how many times can I say Rukaroro in this 30-second hit? Because he just...
Are you saying meow?
Just over and over and over again. Rukaroro, ro, 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 ro. I was like, oh my God. I was like, he is locked
You've
in
got
on
to say it.
Antetokounmpo.
Right, you've got to say it. Remember, we couldn't say it for a long time. You know, then you get good enough and you'll learn how to say it. If Aroro is going to be good, I guarantee you we'll learn how to say it.
Well, Roger Goodell did call Marcus Mariota Mariota. So.
Bro. What did they call him at the Heisman? It was even worse than that. From Oregon.
That one.
We'll never get away from that.
Do you pronounce it Boston? Everything spelled O-N, everyone pronounces really big things correctly, but when it comes to Oregon, it's like, I don't say Boston. Why do people say Oregon? That is the big, that eats my craw.
So some of the other draft picks from the first round, it was pretty much chalk for like the first like six picks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., who for some reason still hasn't signed his NFLPA contract or whatever. So we don't even know if his jersey is going to be able to be sold or if you can play as Marvin Harrison in the next Madden or anything. It will be Harvin Marison Jr. in the next Madden.
Doesn't matter. Madden's just a roster update at this point anyways. They don't add new features.
Derek Smith at wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals in the next Madden. Joe Alt, Malik Nabers at six. But hey, one of the other more intriguing draft picks of the first round that got people talking was Bo Nix at 12 going to the Denver Broncos. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks of the NFL draft. First time ever that's happened. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, those two guys were being talked about as like second round guys going into the draft. I was kind of reserved to that fact at that point. I was like, yeah, we'll see them go in the second round somewhere, see what situation they end up. No, within the first 12 picks.
Yeah.
And yeah, Bo Nix, we talked about Penix in the last segment, but Bo Nix going to Denver.
That's
and
huge.
That, you want to talk about Penix having to wait. Nix has an opportunity to start right away for them.
And has an opportunity to do it with one of his teammates.
Yeah.
You know, and so
Troy Franklin, he ended up getting drafted, I believe, was it a third round?
Third round.
To the Denver Broncos. Which, when I saw that, I was like, you know, it's not late first, early second that some people were hoping for Franklin, but
that's still a huge,
That's a great spot for him to go to the guy, go with the guy that was throwing him touchdown passes for the last 2 years.
And for Troy Franklin, if If you're drafted, like, so I've kind of got it set up to where I understand, like, when you, which round you get picked in is kind of the expectation that you're going to have going in there. They call Brock Purdy Mr. Irrelevant because he's the last, you know, last pick of the draft for the most part. Like, we don't expect you to do much, right? But first round, you're clearly expected to be a star. You know, second, third round, you're expected to be a solid starter. You know, potentially Pro Bowl, you know, fourth, fifth round, you know, you're going to be a person on the roster, usually fifth, sixth, seventh, like you're trying to just make a team, maybe practice squad, something like
that. Taking flyers at that point.
Troy Franklin is somebody that Denver is looking at as a potential, you know, key cog in what they're trying to do in Denver. Like Jerry Jeudy, that whole thing, I don't know how well that's worked. You know, and so now
Jeudy, I mean, he just got traded a few months ago. Where is he? He just got God, where did he just get traded to?
So with him being out and with him not really working in the first place, now you've got
Cleveland Browns,
a quarterback and a receiver that have some a rapport with each other. Now, I think that could be a good thing for Sean Payton and company.
I mean, I think it just caught everyone off guard that he got drafted that early. I will say when they showed his like draft party, I was like, man, that is a scene from Get Out right there. Because Tez Johnson was the only dude in there, that only black guy.
Like, what are you doing there?
And everybody else was white, wearing pink springs colors and everything. I was like,
tucked in.
I was like, someone bring out the teacup right now. Like,
I mean, hey, that's his guy, you know. Apparently, so
that's his brother. Did you know that?
Is it really?
Wait, hold on. Are you being serious right now?
No, I'm being for real.
Tez Johnson is Bo Nix's adopted brother.
That's awesome.
Did you watch a single Oregon game last year? They probably brought it up like 5 to 8 times. It started becoming
attention. I wasn't paying attention.
You watched the games with the sound off, obviously.
It started to become
an over under thing. Like, how many times are they going to bring up that Tez Johnson is Bo Nix's adopted brother?
Well, you know, he met him when he was 15, 16, and the relationship that they've built has translated on the field. Stop!
I'll be real. A lot of times I do watch it with the sound off so I can have, you know, if I'm watching football, I can have music on and stuff like that. I don't necessarily need, you know, the sound on. So
actually,
I like to party.
Can I defend you in that statement? Some of these NBA playoffs announcers that they have had, because you got to get like the, it's beyond your full TNT and ESPN roster because you're putting on 4 or 5 games at once. Oh my God. Some of these guys are just the bottom of the barrel.
And some of them are awesome. Have you been listening
to Reggie Miller is one of the worst.
Well, Reggie Miller is not great, but
Jamal
Crawford is awesome.
He's not too bad.
No, he's always,
he's
very, very,
really, really, really good. I'm like, okay, yeah, you got this. You understand what you're doing.
I want to just smack Reggie Miller over the back of his head sometimes for something. Like, I wish I was sitting next to him because, like, the game winner over for Jamal Murray, he literally, as Harlan is making the call and the shot goes in, game over. Like, doesn't let Harlan just make the call. He has to chime in and say something as the shot is going in as well. And it's just like, bro, like, let Kevin Harlan do this, please. And then he wouldn't shut the F up for the entire like time after the shot went in. And he just kept going and going. I'm like, dude, please, can someone please just cut the mic?
Gotta get his opinion.
Just cut the mic, please.
I think it was
the caramel cat.
Yeah,
ever called him.
Nobody ever called him.
I think it was game 2 between the Knicks and the 76ers. I mean, I feel bad for the announcer because it sounds like he has an actual speech impediment, but he kept calling like Tom Thibodeau, and then calling Hartenstein, and then I heard him like drop an R.
Hartenstein.
Yeah, and almost go like Wadio at some point. I'm like, oh God, like is this guy actually like have like an impediment or something? And then I'm like, if he does, why is he announcing an NBA game? Half of these names are wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing it on purpose. Like, that's his thing.
Stein.
All right.
Might be his shtick.
I'll leave it to you guys. Do we go fun with audio next or see where the rest of the Oregon and Oregon State guys went? We can save fun with audio for the second hour.
Let's save the fun with audio.
Okay. Yeah.
Next segment, we will talk about where all the other Oregon Duck and Oregon State players went next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Oregon football. They had their spring game yesterday. I know Rashad was locked in.
Actually, I watched a little.
Oh, you watched more than I did.
Only because, like, my soon-to-be daughter, I suppose. Stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter.
Yeah.
I think that's how that works.
Turns 19 today. And one of the things she, and she goes to U of O. One of the things she did is went to the spring game.
Ah.
And so.
Trying to find her in the crowd.
Happy birthday, Jada. Yeah. No, not at all. But, you know, whenever you lose a guy like Bo Nix, I think you're just curious to see.
How things are.
Not even how things are, but just who could potentially be next.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to, obviously, the transfer portal, you know, if you're a Ducks fan, thank God for that. You know, because now you get a new super senior. What year is?
I mean, this will be Gabriel's last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so.
Because he was at UCF for 3 years.
Technically, this is like either his graduate year or I'm so confused with all the transfers allowed now. Because he can do it however many times he wants.
And you have a COVID year, and then.
Yeah, some of these kids, like Cam McCormick, I think might be applying for another year still. Like,
Cam McCormick is going to be 40 and somehow still have some eligibility.
I would love a homegrown quarterback. It's been a while. Mariota was the last. When I say homegrown, I mean they came to Oregon as a freshman and decided to ride it out and get that. Like, Mariota was really the last one. Since then, it's been Vernon Adams and who else? Well, obviously, Bo Nix, Anthony Brown.
We had the Dakota Poop Dakota Cop.
Yeah, but even Dakota came here first, right?
He was transferred.
No, he was
So, Dakota, you know, Poop Cop. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been, what, 10 years now? How long ago was Mariota?
Anthony Brown. Can't forget Anthony Brown.
Anthony, we cannot forget Anthony Brown.
They tried with Tyler Shuck. He was their product, but it didn't work out.
You know, so I would love to see a quarterback from, and Oregon State, come in.
Real quickly, on this Golf Channel, that is just a mean mustache and kind of a squirrel moment. Johnson Wagner, I think this guy's name was, it said. That is a top tier mustache.
Do you like it?
That's a solid stash, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's really good. Almost just got his Ron Burgundy on. You know.
Sorry.
I see it. Strong.
Again. See a mustache like that, it throws you off. It's like,
Does Dusty still have his mustache?
No, I think it's gone.
Man, I was like, man, is this Tom Selleck?
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a
good thing. I thought the mustache looked good. I was team mustache. For
mustaches,
Dusty.
Fellas, listen. Mustaches don't look good.
No, I was with him.
Don't look good.
They do.
No, they don't.
I give my stamp of approval. I am Joe Fisher, and I endorse this mustache.
My dad.
I'm Rashad Taylor. Don't do it.
But my dad has always had a mustache, and I still don't like mustaches. And Rashad, I think the look of Dusty, you could compare it to the clip that he says himself. Like, he says his mustache makes him look like a conquistador. That's exactly what he looks
kind
like.
Kind of, yeah.
He's a conquistador, right?
Kind of.
All right, where did these other Oregon players go? Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. Jackson Powers Johnson, the barrel-chested center for Oregon. That dude's upper body is insane. Like, my God. It is just... I don't see how he is going to not be a great player for the Raiders and a great center overall, because that guy looks like he could move mountains. But he goes round two, pick 44 to the Las Vegas Raiders. The next Duck off the board, Troy Franklin at pick 102. We talked about him going to the Denver Broncos along with Bo Nix. A few picks later, Kyrie Jackson, corner, going to the Minnesota Vikings. The pick right after that, so the Oregon Ducks went 101, 108, and 109. Atlanta Falcons take Brandon Dorlus. And then two picks after that, Evan Williams, safety, goes to the Green Bay Packers. And if you haven't seen the fan announce that pick for the Green Bay Packers, he knew the assignment. He was in Detroit.
See, you said a fan, right?
They had a fan up there.
Yeah.
Hate
cool.
It.
And oh, you should.
Was this one?
This
legit?
Was good. Yeah, okay. He knew the assignment, being in Detroit and being a Green Bay Packers fan, reminding them what the Packers have done over their franchise's history. Yeah, he did not skip a beat. And I don't like a lot of things about the Packers, but tip of the cap to this kid, because he definitely delivered as far as announcing the draft pick.
Good for him.
Bucky Irving goes pick 125 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I love that for him.
Bucky to the Bucks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like a stereotypical number one back in the league, but he's going to get a lot of carries for him. Might be like a third down option. He's just so fast.
Yeah, and he just...
I'm curious to see how they use him in Tampa. Yeah.
He fights through contact, too. Like, he just doesn't seem to want to go down at any point. When the Cowboys, when the draft kept going along, and I don't think the Cowboys ended up with a running back.
Nope.
Which, okay, best of luck. I was hoping that they would, well, one, get a running back. But as the draft kept going and Bucky was on the board, I was like, man, that would be awesome if they took him. But they didn't take anybody. So it's fine. We're all good. Royce Freeman and Deuce Vaughn, you know, that the Cowboys will be just fine.
Hey, give Royce some number one action in the NFL. They'll probably rush for 1,000 yards.
Listen,
but
love Royce, but no. Don't do it, please, for the love of God.
Those days are over.
And then Jamal Hill for the Houston Texans, pick 188. He was the last pick for the Oregon Ducks, linebacker Jamal Hill. And with that amount of draft picks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that what I'm counting here? 8 draft picks for the Oregon Ducks. That is now the most Ducks ever selected in one single draft, breaking the previous record of 6 players drafted out of Oregon.
Well, congratulations to Dan Lanning. You know, you're a great recruiter and you got your guys to the NFL. If Oregon already wasn't a destination for a lot of, you know, high school seniors that are getting ready to make that decision, watching 8 guys go, you know, within the first, or excuse me, at least 7 go within the first few rounds,
yeah,
has to make you feel good, you know, if you're Dan Lanning. But if you're, you know, somebody that's considering Oregon, now all of a sudden, man, I can get to the league, and they're taking a bunch of us to the league. So, yeah, tip of the cap to the Ducks.
And for the Oregon State Beavers, you had 3 draft picks. The most notable was the first rounder, offensive tackle, Talese Fuaga. He is going to the New Orleans Saints. And, I mean, Oregon State linemen, hard-pressed for them to do anything else but be great. Like, it seems like wherever they go, they end up, like, having a really good career.
Yeah, it used to be wide receiver you. Now it's like if you come from Oregon State and you played offensive line, defensive, you know, tackle, you're going to have a long NFL career for the most part.
Anthony Gould, wide receiver. He was picked 7th pick of the 5th round to the Indianapolis Colts. So he's going to a situation with a pretty good quarterback last year with, you know, injury aside, had a great year with Anthony Richardson. So Anthony Gould will be at Indianapolis. And then the last pick for the Oregon State Beavers, Ketan Oladapo, safety. He goes to the Green Bay Packers as well. So now you got a safety from the Ducks and a safety from the Beavers being drafted by Green Bay. He goes 5th round, 34th pick. I haven't looked to see what the undrafted free agents are looking like as far as if there are any Oregon or Oregon State undrafted players. Usually that starts to happen yesterday and today. Teams making calls and getting those players. So we'll take a look at that and see where they ended up at. But the 8 draft picks by Oregon, I didn't know that until just this morning looking it up. And
yeah, me either.
That's huge. That is, as you say, like, Lanning can now tell guys, like, I can get you drafted. I can get you drafted high. That was a big thing for Nick Saban, too. It's like, you come here,
you're going to go to the NFL. There you go. And so, let's be real, that's what a lot of these students are looking for. They're looking for that opportunity to have some exposure and maybe get some NIL, but also ultimately get drafted. Like, that's the goal there. And when the record was 6 and now you can put 8 guys into the league, and really within the first 4 rounds of the league you get 7 guys in there, like, that's pretty impressive.
By the way, thanks to the Vancouver Ford text line pointing out we forgot about Justin Herbert. Of course he was
Justin
from
Herbert, the last one,
Eugene's yes, own Sheldon, High, Sheldon School. High School. Yeah, like straight like there was a very, very talented homegrown quarterback in the last just 7 years.
Yes,
coming
there
out
were. So yeah.
All right, you know,
even if people didn't respect Justin, they didn't appreciate Justin Herbert when he was here. There are a lot of pundits.
Rashad.
No, don't do that. There were a lot of pundits
don't do that.
No, there were a lot of pundits that were like, man, Justin Herbert, he's not this. And he's, man, please.
Who?
That boy was out there. Name
these pundits.
The one, our good friend Mike Lynch was one of them that just did not like Justin Herbert. We got plenty of show tape where he was like, oh, I just don't see it. I'm like, bro, you are crazy.
Well, going into the draft, I think that he was not crazy about him being an NFL prospect, but I don't think he was saying as a Oregon Duck quarterback, like,
yes,
nah, he's a bum.
Like, he's like,
nah,
yeah, he's not good. Yeah, he's not. I just don't see it.
That again, going thing. To the NFL, that's one thing, but being at Oregon, I don't think anybody was saying that Justin isn't any good or doesn't.
There, there were a lot of people that I was seeing that was saying that I was like, man, are y'all crazy? Are y'all looking at this?
You're pulling a 45 right now. There's a lot of people saying that Justin Herbert's not a good quarterback at Oregon.
I seen it.
Kind of a bum.
I seen it.
I called him Justin Sherbert because he was so soft.
Justin Sherbert. That's the best dad joke I've heard all year so far.
That sounds like something that he would say. Quite honestly, like, oh, I said that he'd be the best quarterback of all time, and look at him now.
I'm just saying, there. I remember all can't finish games. He's not just like, what are y'all talking about? So, and it's, I guess anybody that comes in after Mariota, the expectation is Heisman or bust.
How dare you besmirch Mike Lynch's name?
My guy knows better.
Actually, and I will say I do remember Mike. He was one of them that, I mean, quite honestly, it's not like, as far as going into the NFL, I want to make that distinction clear. Going into the NFL as an NFL prospect as versus a quarterback at Oregon. Those are two separate things. Like, him being a quarterback at Oregon,
he didn't think it was going to work.
He was great.
He didn't think it was going to work in the league.
I get that. There was a few people that believed that, all right? There were questions of whether he was going to be that good or not. I think that is always the case with the first-round quarterback, is if they're going to be good or not. But as far as Herbert at Oregon when he was playing, I don't think it was a matter of like, I don't know. He's got to show me a little bit more.
He was getting hated
I don't know
on.
If I believe in him.
He was getting hated on.
No, I remember he was not. That. Stop.
I remember it.
All right, hour number two coming up. Got some fun with audio, some draft fun with audio. One from a player, one... From a GM, Jordan, I hope you got every single one of those.
I think I listened three times. I think I did, but I will have the dump button ready. I want a drink with this guy.
Yeah, he looks kind of weird, though.
The hair, no. But like a year ago when his hair was a lot shorter, yes.
And we also, so what I think I want to do is I want to play that audio because we have like the draft audio that we have is a player that got drafted. And then I also want to have that linked up with audio from an NBA player because both of their voices, it throws you off, both of them. We'll get to that in the second hour. Got some NBA playoff stuff. We still have the poll question up on 1080 The Fan, which has been the most disappointing team in the NBA playoffs, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, or Pelicans. And we will get to all that hour two coming up right here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oregon football. They had their spring game yesterday. I know Rashad was locked in.
Actually, I watched a little.
Oh, you watched more than I did.
Only because, like, my... soon-to-be daughter, I suppose. Stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter.
Yeah.
I think that's how that works.
Turns 19 today. And one of the things she, and she goes to U of O. One of the things she did is went to the spring game.
Ah.
And so.
Trying to find her in the crowd?
Happy birthday, Jada. Yeah. No, not at all. But, you know, whenever you lose a guy like Bo Nix, I think you're just curious to see.
How things are.
Not even how things are, but just who could potentially be next.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to, obviously, the transfer portal, you know, if you're a Ducks fan, thank God for that. You know, because now you get a new super senior. What year is?
I mean, this will be Gabriel's last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so.
Because he was at UCF for 3 years.
Technically, this is like either his graduate year or I'm so confused with all the transfers allowed now because he can do it however many times he wants.
And you have a COVID year and then.
Yeah, some of these kids like Cam McCormick, I think, might be applying for another year still. Like,
Cam McCormick is going to be 40 and somehow still have some eligibility.
I would love a homegrown quarterback. It's been a while. Mariota was the last one. When I say homegrown, I mean they came to Oregon as a freshman and decided to ride it out and get that. Like, Mariota was really the last one. Since then, it's been Vernon Adams and who else? Well, obviously, Bo Nix, Anthony Brown.
We had the Dakota poop cop.
Yeah, but even Dakota came here first, right?
He was transferred.
No, he was
So, Dakota, you know, poop cop. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been, what, 10 years now? How long ago was Mariota?
Anthony Brown. Can't forget Anthony Brown.
Anthony, we cannot forget Anthony Brown.
They tried with Tyler Shuck. He was their product, but it didn't work out.
You know, so I would love to see a quarterback from, and Oregon State come
real,
and.
Real quickly, on this Golf Channel, that is just a mean mustache and kind of a squirrel moment. Johnson Wagner, I think this guy's name was, it said. That is a top tier mustache.
Do you like it?
That's a solid stash, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Almost just got his Ron Burgundy on. You know.
Sorry.
I see it strong.
Again, see a mustache like that, it throws you off. It's like, man,
Still have his mustache?
No, I think it's gone.
Man, I was like, man, is this Tom Selleck?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I thought the mustache looked good. I was team mustache.
Fellas, listen. Mustaches don't look good.
No, I was with him.
Don't look good.
They do.
No, they don't.
I give my stamp of approval. I am Joe Fisher, and I endorse this mustache.
My dad.
I'm Rashad Taylor. Don't do it.
But my dad has always had a mustache, and I still don't like mustaches. And Rashad, I think the look of Dusty, you could compare it to the clip that he says himself. Like, he says his mustache makes him look like a conquistador. That's exactly what he looks
kind
like.
Kind of, yeah.
He's a conquistador, right?
Kind of.
All right, where did these other Oregon players go? Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. Jackson Powers Johnson, the barrel-chested center for Oregon. That dude's upper body is insane. Like, my God. It is just... I don't see how he is going to not be a great player for the Raiders and a great center overall, because that guy looks like he could move mountains. But he goes round to pick 44 to the Las Vegas Raiders. The next duck off the board, Troy Franklin at pick 102. We talked about him going to the Denver Broncos along with Bo Nix. A few picks later, Kyrie Jackson, corner, going to the Minnesota Vikings. The pick right after that, so the Oregon Ducks went 101, 108, and 109. Atlanta Falcons take Brandon Dorlus. And then two picks after that, Evan Williams, safety, goes to the Green Bay Packers. And if you haven't seen the fan announce that pick for the Green Bay Packers, he knew the assignment. He was in Detroit.
See, you said a fan, right?
They had a fan up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate
cool.
It.
And, oh, you should.
Was this one?
This
legit?
Was good. Yeah. Okay. He knew the assignment being in Detroit and being a Green Bay Packers fan, reminding them what the Packers have done over their franchise's history. Yeah. He did not skip a beat. And I don't like a lot of things about the Packers, but tip of the cap to this kid because he definitely delivered as far
good
as announcing the draft pick.
Good for him.
Bucky Irving goes pick 125 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I love that for
Bucky
him.
Bucky to the Bucks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like a stereotypical number one back in the league, but he's going to get a lot of carries for him, might be like a third down option. He's just so fast.
Yeah, and he just...
I'm curious to see how they use him in Tampa. Yeah.
He fights through contact, too. Like, he just doesn't seem to want to go down at any point. Yeah, when the Cowboys, when the draft kept going along, and I don't think the Cowboys ended up with a running back.
Nope.
Which, okay, best of luck. I was hoping that they would, well, one, get a running back. But as the draft kept going and Bucky was on the board, I was like, man, that would be awesome if they took him. But they didn't take anybody, so... It's fine. We're all good. Royce Freeman and Deuce Vaughn, you know, that the Cowboys will be just fine.
Hey, give Royce some number one action in the NFL. They'll probably rush for 1,000 yards.
Listen, but love Royce, but no. But don't do it, please, for the love of God.
Those days are over.
And then Jamal Hill for the Houston Texans, pick 188. He was last pick for the Oregon Ducks, linebacker Jamal Hill. And with... that amount of draft picks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And is that what I'm counting here? 8 draft picks for the Oregon Ducks. That is now the most Ducks ever selected in one single draft, breaking the previous record of 6 players drafted out of Oregon.
Well, congratulations to Dan Lanning. You know, you're a great recruiter and you got your guys to the NFL. If Oregon already wasn't a destination for a lot of, you know, high school seniors that are getting ready to make that decision, watching 8 guys go, you know, within the first, or excuse me, at least 7 go within the first few rounds,
yeah,
has to make you feel good, you know, if you're Dan Lanning. But if you're, you know, somebody that's considering Oregon, now all of a sudden, man, I can get to the league, and they're taking a bunch of us to the league. So, yeah, tip of the cap to the Ducks.
And for the Oregon State Beavers, you had 3 draft picks. The most notable was the first rounder, offensive tackle, Talise Fuaga. He is going to the New Orleans Saints. And, I mean, Oregon State linemen, hard-pressed for them to do anything else but be great. Like, it seems like wherever they go, they end up, like, having a really good career.
Yeah, it used to be wide receiver you. Now it's like if you come from Oregon State and you played offensive line, defensive, you know, tackle, you're going to have a long NFL career for the most part.
Anthony Gould, wide receiver. He was picked 7th pick of the 5th round to the Indianapolis Colts. So he's going to a situation with a pretty good quarterback last year with, you know, injury aside, had a great year with Anthony Richardson. So Anthony Gould will be at Indianapolis. And then the last pick for the Oregon State Beavers, Ketana Oladapo, safety. He goes to the Green Bay Packers as well. So now you got a safety from the Ducks and a safety from the Beavers being drafted by Green Bay. He goes 5th round, 34th pick. I haven't looked to see what the undrafted free agents are looking like as far as if there are any Oregon or Oregon State undrafted players. Usually that starts to happen yesterday and today. Teams making calls and getting those players. So we'll take a look at that and see where they ended up at. But the 8 draft picks by Oregon, I didn't know that until just this morning looking it up. And,
yeah, me either.
That's huge. That is, as you say, like, Lanning can now tell guys, like, I can get you drafted. I can get you drafted high. That was a big thing for Nick Saban, too. It's like, you come here.
You're going to go to the NFL. There you go. And so, and let's be real. That's what a lot of these students are looking for. They're looking for that opportunity to have some exposure and maybe get some NIL, but also ultimately get drafted. Like, that's the goal there. And when the record was 6 and now you can put 8 guys into the league, and really within the first 4 rounds of the league you get 7 guys in there, like, that's pretty impressive.
By the way, thanks to the Vancouver Ford text line pointing out we forgot about Justin Herbert. Of course he was
Justin
from
Herbert, the last one.
Eugene's yes, own Sheldon, High,
Sheldon
School.
High School.
Yeah, like there was a very, very talented homegrown quarterback in the last just 7 years.
Yes,
coming
there
out
were. So,
man.
Yeah.
Eh. No, all right, you know,
even if people didn't respect Justin, they didn't appreciate Justin Herbert when he was here. There are a lot of pundits.
Rashad,
no, don't do that. There were a lot of pundits
don't do that.
No, there were a lot of pundits that were like, man, Justin Herbert, he's not this, and he's man, please,
who?
That boy was out there.
Name these pundits.
The one, our good friend Mike Lynch was one of them that just did not like Justin Herbert. We got plenty of show tape where he was like, oh, I just don't see it. I'm like, bro, you are crazy.
Well, going into the draft, I think that he was not crazy about him being an NFL prospect, but I don't think he was sane as a Oregon Duck quarterback. Like, yes, he was. He's a bum. Like, he's like, nah, he's no
not,
good.
Yeah, he's not. I just don't see it.
That again, going to the NFL, that's one thing. But being at Oregon, I don't think anybody was saying that Justin isn't any good or doesn't.
There were a lot of people that I was seeing that was saying that. I was like, man, are y'all crazy? Are y'all looking at this?
You're pulling a 45 right now. There's a lot of people saying that Justin Herbert,
man, hey,
not
I
a good
here.
Quarterback at
I
Oregon.
I seen it.
Kind of a bum.
I seen it.
I called him Justin Sherbert because he was so soft.
That's Justin what people were Sherbert. That's the best dad joke I've heard all year so far.
That sounds like something that he would say, quite honestly. Like, oh, I said that he'd be the best quarterback of all time, and look at him now.
I'm just saying. I remember all he can't finish games. He's not just like, what are y'all talking about? So, and it's, I guess anybody that comes in after Mariota, the expectation is Heisman or bust.
How dare you besmirch Mike Lynch's name?
My guy knows better.
Actually, and I will say, I do remember Mike. He was one of them that, I mean, quite honestly, it's not like, as far as going into the NFL, I want to make that distinction clear. Going into the NFL as an NFL prospect as versus a quarterback at Oregon. Those are two separate things. Like, him being a quarterback at Oregon,
He didn't think it was going to work in the league.
I get that. There was a few people that believed that, all right? There were questions of whether he was going to be that good or not. I think that is always the case with a first-round quarterback, is if they're going to be good or not. But as far as Herbert at Oregon when he was playing, I don't think it was a matter of like, I don't know. He's got to show me a little bit more.
He was getting hated
I don't know
on.
If I believe in him.
He was getting hated on.
No,
I remember
he was
that.
Not. Stop.
I remember it.
All right, hour number two coming up. Got some fun with audio, some draft fun with audio. One from a player, one from a GM, Jordan. I hope you got every single one of those.
I think I listened three times. I think I did, but God. I will have the dump button ready. I want a drink with this guy.
Yeah, he looks kind of weird though.
The hair, no, but like a year ago when his hair was a lot shorter, yes.
And we also so. What I think I want to do is I want to play that audio because we have like the draft audio that we have is a player that got drafted. And then I also want to have that linked up with audio from an NBA player because both of their voices, it throws you off, both of them. We'll get to that in the second hour. Got some NBA playoff stuff. We still have the poll question up on 1080 The Fan, which has been the most disappointing team in the NBA playoffs. Lakers, Clippers, Suns, or Pelicans. And we will get to all that hour two coming up right here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.